Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Emotional Eating, the secret to natural weight loss. Would you like to lose weight naturally? What you're about to hear may surprise you. Researchers suggest that 30 to 40% of your digestion and ability to absorb nutrients from the food you eat begins with your state of mind or awareness about what you're eating. It's called the cephalic phase digestive response, and it tells us that what we think and feel about the food we're about to eat has everything to do with our ability to digest that food and achieve optimal weight. Today, I've invited a medical doctor from the UK to talk about her experience with weight issues, and we'll focus on the issue of weight loss in a way rarely discussed in the mainstream media. As we all know, to lose weight is not just about counting calories or exercising more. To maintain a healthy weight long term, we must understand the importance of our emotions and how the way we feel about ourselves and others has everything to do with our food choices and our body weight. But before we meet our special guests, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now please join me in welcoming Dr. Julie Coffey to our show. Dr. Coffey, welcome.
Hi, Jonathan. And hello to your listeners, and thank you so much for having me on.
It's our pleasure to have you, Dr. Coffey. From a medical point of view, why should people lose weight if they're overweight?
That's a really good question. People that I often see often think that the weight that they're carrying is sat there doing nothing. It's just looking unsightly, and they're unhappy about the appearance more than the health problems. And I completely understand that, especially as a woman. But I think there's a certain lack of knowledge about what the effect excess body fat has on the health and the damage it can do throughout the body, because your fat tissue isn't just an inactive part of your body. It's something that produces a lot of hormones, and these hormones can be quite inflammatory and damaging in nature. And this is what increases the level of degeneration throughout the body. And it's why in Western countries, where we all tend to be a bit overweight, we have a lot of the degenerative type illnesses, like the cardiovascular disease, like heart attacks and strokes, dementia, high blood pressure, and then things like arthritis and even cancer. Now, in addition to that, I think everybody knows that there's a strong link between being overweight and type 2 diabetes. And, you know, here in the UK, and especially in the US, the rates of diabetes are just going up at really scary levels, aren't they? And the diabetes with the high blood sugar, that's associated with high-speed aging. And with the high sugar and high insulin, it causes lots of damage throughout the body with the blood vessels and the nervous supply. So that's a quick summary of why, from a medical point of view, people should consider losing weight.
And Dr. Coffey, I would imagine this is way beyond the scope of just a short little podcast like this, but just to mention something that I find so important that's overlooked by so many people is this idea of, if you're overweight or not feeling well, certainly excessive weight, it actually does affect our emotions. It affects our state of mind. As we're saying, the whole focus of this program is that our perception is, oh, hey, it's no big deal. And so many people deceptively think that this isn't influencing the way they're thinking, that excessive weight. Is that fair to say?
I think that's completely fair to say, Jonathan. I mean, most people realize that being overweight is not how they ideally want to be, and that in itself can be a real kind of drainer in terms of your energy and your emotions. But having something so unhealthy attached to your body all the time is inevitably going to have an effect on your emotions and how you feel and your well-being. So yeah, you're absolutely right there.
So, I mean, this may be a little embarrassing for a lot of doctors to answer, but I need to ask you, why do you think doctors, for the most part, I mean, again, generally speaking, fail to help people lose weight?
Well, looking back a few years ago, I wasn't really any good at helping people lose weight, and I would spout the rhetoric of, do more, eat less, and if that worked, we wouldn't have a weight problem in the US or the UK, would we? I mean, I'm a family doctor in the UK, and in that position, I'm kind of the first port of call for just about everything, particularly weight loss issues. And I think the problem, it comes down to time and expertise and resources, because I only have to look at my course that I run for weight loss. It's about 9 hours of full-on content. And in addition to that, people get weekly question and answers and support from me. And for an individual to get that kind of input from a doctor, it's very difficult. And also, before I put this course together, I went through a health journey myself and learned things that I never learned at medical school because they weren't taught there. The message at medical school really is that being overweight is bad. Get your patients to exercise more and eat less. And there's nothing about the comfort eating, emotional eating, and the psychological aspects that make people eat. This kind of thing it's either not recognized or it's just not dealt with. It's brushed under the carpet. So I think really as a result of all that, most doctors just don't really know how to help. And yeah, if you look at doctors, we're all normal people. A lot of doctors are overweight, and so if they really knew how to crack this nut, they would be slim themselves. So there's a complete lack of knowledge, I think, generally speaking, with doctors and how to help people with this problem.
Well, Dr. Coffey, I think that this still tends to lean towards being a radical concept, but I think people more and more are waking up to this reality of what you were just talking about towards the end. And that is when choosing a medical doctor or healthcare professionals, or, I'll even be so bold as to say, even the people you associate with, why don't you just take a good look at the health of those people before deciding whether you want those people to be in your life or not? I mean, like you just said, if there's a doctor that's overweight, he gives medications to his family members, he doesn't think it's a big deal. Yes, he might quickly say toxins are not good for you or being overweight is not so good for you. But then look at what they actually do. I think this is a critical thing that people are waking up more and more to really checking out because they know how important it is to associate more and more with healthy people, no?
I think you're right there, because when I began to go on my health journey and started to share this kind of thing with my patients, it was quite interesting how they would open up and say that it's refreshing to hear a doctor talk about this, and people would start to choose to come and see me rather than some colleagues who perhaps weren't so healthy.
And no doubt, as we're talking today during this podcast, emotional eating, it is so important to be happy with the food that you eat. It's so important to be happy with the program that you decide to take, the course of action, I should say, in your life that you're going to be taking so that you can maintain a healthy lifestyle. I mean, the last thing you want to have is someone thinking out there that they've got to do a program to lose weight and they absolutely hate it at the same time. I mean, that just to me seems crazy. So Dr. Coffey, having said that, why do you think so many people are struggling to lose weight?
I think the biggest reason, and I get this from patients that I see at work and from people that come on my course, time and time again, it's mindset and psychological issues. And this includes the comfort eating and emotional eating problems. Because when you think about it, Jonathan, we all know how to be a lot healthier than we are. We could all eat a little bit better. We could all do a little bit more. So for most people, it's not down to a lack of knowledge. It's putting that into practice. So the biggest reason is psychological issues. I mean, diets are a big problem. I mean, over here in the UK, Weight Watchers and Slimming World are really popular. I believe Weight Watchers is popular with you guys too. These don't deal with emotional eating and the psychological aspects. They don't even give decent nutritional knowledge there either. No follow-up plan, no support really. So the biggest reason is the mindset, psychological issues.
Dr. Coffey, I think what you just said is so important. That's why I so appreciate your time today. And we're doing a program like this to really highlight emotional eating. And we're calling it the secret, right, to weight loss. This idea that you're talking about, where even if you don't have the knowledge, These days, it is so easy to point and click. Subscribe to Natural Health 365. Get our newsletter every week. Get information. I mean, my goodness, it is easier than ever. But I agree with you 1,000%. The psychological components of deep down, even subconsciously, if you're not even conscious of it yet, feeling like you can't do something is such a major barrier to succeeding at something that, you know, quite honestly, you probably could with just a better mindset, no?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Dr. Coffey, let's talk a little bit more about this. How does mindset hold people back from changing their lifestyle?
When you look at weight in particular, when most people decide that they want something different, they'll perhaps start a diet and an exercise plan. And they start doing certain things because they want to have something, which is the fitness, the slimness, and whatever. But they miss out the most important thing, and that's who they have to be to keep doing the things that they need to do to ultimately have what they want. And that being is all about the habits that are deeply ingrained and have probably been working on autopilot for years. And this is where the emotional eating and things like that come into as well. Because without changing who you are at a core, it's like a bit like an elastic band. You know, you start doing the diet and the exercise plan, but very, very quickly you're brought back to your starting point because your willpower is never going to win over the deeply ingrained habits. And at the beginning of all this, it's asking, you know, what do you actually want? That's the biggest question I ask. When I ask that, they often talk about what they don't want. They talk about, well, you know, I don't want to be overweight anymore. I don't want to be short of breath when I'm walking up hills. I don't want to feel so sluggish and unwell. With all these answers coming out, it shows that the focus is very much on all the things that they don't want. And keeping the focus there is partly what's keeping them stuck right where they are, which is overweight. If you compare this to an athlete, If an athlete kept imagining losing a race, and that's what they don't want, chances are they're training and they're going to end up losing the race. Whereas a good coach for this athlete will reverse their focus and get them to focus on what it is that they really want. And that's not to lose, but it's to win the race. And that subtle mindset shift makes all the difference. So, you know, the very first thing people have to do is decide what it is that they want. And if I could just give you a lovely example of one of the people I've got on my course at the moment. She's an older lady in her late 60s, and she's been struggling with her weight all her life. And I've worked with her to encapsulate her goal, what it is that she really wants out of this course. Now, currently, she's not got any grandchildren, but she's got one on the way. So she's got a goal where she sat down with her grandchild on their 16th birthday, looking back at photos and having a really good time and feeling wonderful. So that's her goal, you know, to be around, to enjoy her grandchildren, but in a healthy way. That's the kind of starting point that she needs to begin overcoming a difficult problem like the emotional eating, because she's had that for decades now.
And Dr. Coffey, I just love what you're saying, because you and I never talked about this before, but I have a huge background in helping children to excel in sports and getting scholarships and all of this as well. My master's training is in exercise physiology. And that is so right on what you're saying. For someone to say, I don't want to have weak legs anymore, I don't want to be this fat anymore, it's like they're constantly telling themselves they have weak legs and that they're fat. And so I love this idea that you're saying about having a very positive vision to keep yourself so self-motivated. That's really what this is all about, no?
That's the foundation of it all when you want to change. Because if, like you say, Jonathan, when you're focusing on the things that you don't want, it brings you down, it brings your energy level down, and it just keeps you stuck. It's like a big anchor in the ground. And that, unfortunately, that's what most people naturally do, because that's what they've got in the habit of doing. So the first thing I do with people is reverse that.
Okay, so Dr. Coffey, this is where it really gets interesting for people listening. If someone had an emotional eating issue, and, you know, let's face it, there are a lot of people that struggle with this from day to day. I mean, maybe talk about some of the signs of emotional eating that are perhaps too negative, if you will? And how do you help them to overcome it? Talk to us about it, please.
The first thing is recognizing it. I mean, sometimes it's really obvious to recognize. Some people know that when they're upset or angry, they turn to food in a way to try and just numb those feelings. Other times it's not as obvious. So it's my course is all about getting people more aware and getting them to switch the autopilot off and switch the habits off, become aware of what's going on. Because the not so obvious areas of emotional eating is, because when you think about it, we should only be eating when we're hungry and when we're physically hungry, when we need food. So whenever we're eating, when we're not hungry or we're eating way beyond being satisfied, that all comes into the emotional eating spectrum as well. So I would say the most common type of emotional eating is boredom. And I've been guilty of this when I've been, it usually strikes me if I'm stuck at work all day and inside. Some people do this as well, you know, that they're just bored and it's just something to do, almost like a form of entertainment. And you have to become aware of that. Like I say, the other emotional eating is more obvious. And I'll give an example of somebody that I've helped. She'd been a comfort eater all of her adult life. And a common trigger for her at the point of time when I was working with her was her ex-husband, because unfortunately they'd split up, but they still had to have a lot of contact because of the son. And whenever the husband phoned up, my client would end up in such a state, angry and in tears, and end up running into the kitchen and emptying the fridge and the cupboards and eating lots, and then just feeling dreadful afterwards because, you know, this wasn't helping her weight problem and she just felt completely out of control. And I explained to her that, you know, she knew what her trigger was for the eating, which was the phone call. And what she was doing was just reacting without any thought and then eating. So what we needed to take a step back. We knew what the trigger was. So we needed to kind of interrupt that pattern. So instead of reacting on autopilot and out of habit, she would respond in a different way. Now, this would involve her making a plan before, because when you're in a state of high anger or anxiety, you can't make a plan then. So we knew what would set her off. So she devised a plan that, when she got off the phone to her ex-husband, she wouldn't go into the kitchen. She would go out of the house and for a walk for 20 minutes. And this is kind of like a timeout. I don't know if you guys use it in the US, but sometimes when our kids are naughty, we put them on a naughty step for a few minutes so that they can sit there on their own and be with their thoughts while they calm down. And this going out for a walk after being on the phone is similar to that. It's taking time out, being with your feelings, because there's nothing wrong with that, and allowing them to calm down. So what this lady found was, by the time she got back in 20 minutes later, that high intensity of emotion had gone and she didn't feel that she needed to eat to soothe it. And this took a little bit of work. You know, sometimes the phone would go and she would end up running into the kitchen, but the more she worked at it, the more it became her default to go out for a walk, have that time out and come back and feel in control. And underneath all of that was her goal, for which was a compelling reason why she wanted to lose weight in the first place, which helped motivate her to put this plan in action. So, you know, that's an example of how you might start tackling emotional eating.
And the bottom line is also, Dr. Coffey, we're talking about habits here, right? And some habits are unconscious and some habits are conscious. When dealing with very high-performance athletes, what they tend to do is, yes, of course, we all know that we need to have a vision of something really great that we want to attain. That's wonderful. But now from that vision to actually achieving it, in between is all about our habits. And really what you're talking about are just fantastic habits that you start building into your day that get you towards your goal.
Absolutely. It's all about building in the habits, bringing in new habits, and then letting the old ones die a natural death.
I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Dr. Coffey, let's talk about some of the biggest nutritional mistakes that people tend to make.
Yeah, once you've kind of got your mindset, or you're starting to work on your mindset, I think in this day and age, you have to have a look at your knowledge, your nutritional knowledge, because one of the people on my course nicely summarized this. She said that we, as human beings, we, especially in Western countries, we've become so far removed from what a natural human diet is. Some of us just haven't got a clue. And the biggest nutritional mistake people make is including lots of refined, processed, gluten-laden foods into their diet. It's interesting when you look at the macronutrients, carbohydrates, fats and proteins, there's only one of those that we can survive quite nicely without, and that's carbohydrates. And yet, both in the US and in the UK, that forms the biggest basis of the calories that we get in most people. And when you look at what happens with a carbohydrate when you eat it, your body absorbs it as sugar. Sugar's not a great thing to have at a high level in your blood system, so your body has to react quite robustly to bring that down by producing insulin. And whenever you've got insulin floating around your bloodstream, you're laying fat down. And not only are you laying fat down, you can't break any fat down to use as energy. So a lot of people are eating a big carby breakfast in the morning, carbs at lunchtime, and then more carbs in the evening. So they've just got a permanent insulin pumped out into their bloodstream, which is stopping them breaking fat down and causing them to lay more down. I mean, when I look at this, so this is a really big mistake. It's not really about stopping carbs altogether, but it's about learning and then putting that knowledge into practice by making informed choices.
And then, of course, Dr. Coffey, when we bring into it the idea of the quality of the carbohydrates that you're really referring to, I mean, I have kids come up to me and say, like you say, this disconnect from nature. And they say, look at this natural thing I got. Is it okay to eat? And then they show me a plastic wrapper that says on the outside of the wrapper, here is a natural energy bar, you know, and it has pictures of like nature and grass and the sky and healthy people on the wrapper. And I look at this thing and I say, look at all the simple processed sugars that are in the bar. And I try to explain to them that basically this is not a natural food at all. That if you had brown rice or if you had an apple, yes, there's carbohydrates, but now you're blending in, first of all, an actual low amount, and it's also filled with lots of fiber that tends to interact with the body differently. So again, its effects on our emotions, its effect on our body are so different if we look at the nature of the food we're eating, no?
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting what you say about the kids coming up to you, because I think, my generation was brought up with pretty much proper food. The kind of sweets and stuff were starting to creep in. But when I look at kids now, it's understandable why they can be so confused, particularly with the aggressive marketing and misleading marketing when it comes to healthy foods.
So Dr. Coffey, I can only imagine what you're about to say. What do you think about the government nutritional guidelines that are out there?
Well, I try and keep my language polite. Not much. I mean, both of our countries, they say that we should be eating quite a lot of carbs, and that should form the basis of our calorific intake. And not only that, we're encouraged to eat lots of healthy whole grains. And whole grains, not bad per se, but when you think of particularly conventional wheat and how much that's been altered as a grain over the years, you know, it's ended up as not a particularly healthy thing to eat. Well, actually, it's ended up as a wholly unhealthy thing to eat, and yet our governments recommend us to eat that. And as I was saying before, carbs, when you look at the macronutrients, carbs are the most fattening thing that you can eat, particularly when you make poor choices by eating the processed refined rubbish and conventional wheat. So now I don't really think a lot of the government guidelines, probably best to ignore them.
Dr. Coffey, you mentioned diabetics before. Is your approach to weight loss helpful for diabetics out there? And for those who are really interested, again, to my American friends, I hope you understand, I try to bring in medical experts from all around the world. Dr. Coffey, I have to be honest with you, you're the first person from the UK to be a part of the Natural Health 365 podcast. Thank you very much. But please talk about your weight loss program. Is it helpful for diabetics? And if people were interested in reaching out to you, where can they go?
Well, first of all, my course is absolutely perfect for diabetics. First of all, you know, it takes hold of the mindset, and that can often be in a bad place with people who have a chronic long-term illness like diabetes. But the nutrition advice is spot on when it comes to diabetics, because when you start putting into practice good human nutrition, your blood sugar naturally comes down, it stabilizes, and therefore your need for insulin reduces, and your diabetes becomes under good control. Depending on how long you've had it and how bad you have it, there's a potential to get rid of your diabetes. And all along this process, obviously, you're going to be losing weight. And obviously, we tackle the emotional eating and the psychological aspects, because diabetics aren't immune to all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, if people would like to have a look at what I do, they can go along to my website, which is uberhealthblog.com /UberSlim program, and have a look. There's a video on there of me talking about the course. They can very welcome to email me with any questions.
Dr. Coffey, I want to thank you so much for your time today. Great information. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me on, Jonathan. It's been a real pleasure.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.